On February the 22nd, 1899, Elbert Hubbard compiled thoughts from an earlier discussion with a friend into an article for his small newspaper. He was really trying to fill up empty space. The article was the equivalent of about 3 to 4, 8.5 by 11 pages long, and it was entitled A Message to Garcia. How many here have ever read the essay? Could I see your hand? You've ever read it? How many of you have ever heard of it before? I want to tell you, if you'd lived at the turn of the century and been anywhere in the United States, you would have probably heard of that essay. It became one of the most widely distributed articles in the history of our country. A Message to Garcia was about a charactered, dependable man by the name of Rowan. And after it was first printed, millions of reprints of the article were being requested from all over the world. In 1959, the publishers of a book with this little essay in it wrote this in the introduction to the book. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have been thrilled and inspired by this amazing story of the man who took on a mission that was deadly dangerous and accomplished it without asking a single question or offering a single excuse. It is an American epic, a trumpet rousing the hero in every breast, a challenge to the best within us, and it has met with nothing but cheers for more than half a century. Now, most of you have not heard or at least read this essay. I'm going to share part of it with you later in the message. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, what character is and does. What character is and does. And I'm going to share many scriptures throughout the message, but the key scripture around which I want to build the entire message is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. If I had no other verse except this verse, I would have to believe that Jesus was God in the flesh just from reading this verse. Let's back up and come down to it. Beginning at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. May I suggest to you, you may want to underline the words express image. Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, that phrase right there, those two words, express image, referring to Jesus being the express image of the person of God, the Greek word is character. It is spelled in the Greek C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R, at least that's the transliteration from the Greek letters. We get our English word character directly from this Bible word, and this is the only time that it occurs in the entire Bible. The word's an interesting word. It was used among the classical Greeks to refer to the work of an engraver. First, it was used of the chisel or the tool itself that was used for engraving. Later, it came to refer to the impress or the mark that was left by a tool or a die. For instance, when we were in Zambia, Africa a few weeks ago, one of the most beautiful woodworks that I saw while I was there, and we bought it. In fact, we were actually watching people make not this particular piece, but many of the pieces. This beautiful picture or this beautiful plaque with the five key animals of Africa on it in the shape of Africa, that didn't just happen. That didn't evolve. Somebody had to make that. How did he make that? He had, and we watched them using tools to cut away the wood, and then we watched them as they used the chisels and carved these beautiful things out of the wood. We brought enough of these back. These little African animals that we're going to give one to every family in the church probably next Sunday. Somebody gave me from the Holy Land a piece of olive wood out of which someone carved beautifully a praying hands. Some artist, some sculptor actually took a chisel and some wood, a piece of wood, and carved that beautiful praying hands piece. Another illustration is a beautiful coin, or coins. Here is a beautiful silver dollar. And that silver dollar didn't just happen. There was an engraver who created a die or a stamp, and then this was stamped, and the beautiful symbols that are found on here. Here's a 50-cent piece from 1986 with the Statue of Liberty on it. Both these are pure silver. Some engraver had to create a die or a stamp, and then they were able to make these beautiful coins from that. Now, that is a picture of this word, character, in the Greek. The way that the stamp or the die was used to create either the coin or the chisel is used to create the beautiful wood sculpture is also a picture of the way that character is created in your own life or in the lives of others around you. A famous person of history said this, "Life is a quarry out of which we are to mold and chisel a complete character." The Bible says here that Jesus had the mark or character of the Father on Him. In a different yet similar way, you and I should have the mark of the character of Jesus upon our lives. Several years ago, the legislature of the state of Kentucky, sensing a crisis in the area of character, passed a resolution honoring Jesus Christ as the Prince of Character. Another Bible word for character is integrity. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Integrity means that we are, on the inside, what we say we are on the outside. Contractors and engineers refer to the integrity of steel. What they're saying is that steel may look great on the outside, and you could put two pieces side by side and they look good, but one of them, when it's put under stress, may not support, and the other one would, and the reason the one piece of steel would support is because it has integrity. If steel has integrity, it is said that it rings true. An engineer can take a ball-peen hammer, strike the steel, hear the ring of the steel, and know whether the steel has integrity. What is character? Character is doing right over and over until the doing of right becomes a part of the life. Until it becomes a part of the character, until it becomes the integrity of life. It's doing right until it becomes a habit. It's doing right automatically. Character is moral excellence. Good character is the inward motivation to do what is right according to high standards of behavior in every situation. Character is what you are when the veneer is stripped away. Character is what you are in the dark. Albert Einstein said, try not to become a person of success, but rather a person of value. He was saying, make sure that you're a person of character. Horace Greeley said, fame is a vapor. Popularity is an accident. Riches take wings. Only one thing endures, character. J. Kessler said, life must be more about what we are than what we do, or else we would be called human doings rather than human beings. William Quayle said this, preaching is the art of making a sermon and delivering it? Why no, that is not preaching. Preaching is the art of making a preacher and delivering that. What is it saying? It's saying that the character of the preacher is more important than what he preaches. The only way, someone said, to not bow to external pressure is to have established strong inner principle. Winston Churchill said, the price of greatness is responsibility. Benjamin Franklin said, nothing is of more importance to the public welfare than to form and train up youth in wisdom and virtue. Renard said, it is more difficult to be an honorable man for a week than to be a hero for 15 minutes. Dr. Bob Jones said, Sr., gave one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard of history when he said, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. Dr. Jack Howells said, true character, when it is instilled in the lives of young people, will find the talent necessary to perform the task. If a young person has character, he will seek out the talent. Actually, it is almost dangerous for a young person to have too much talent, because he will depend on his talent to get him ahead in life instead of his character. Usually what happens is that a person with not as much talent accomplishes more. If you look through history, you'll find this is true many, many times. The people without as much talent typically accomplish more than those with a lot of talent, because the people without a lot of talent realize they've got to have the character, and they build the character, and then they borrow whatever brains or talents they need to accomplish what they need to do. Dr. Bill Rice said, character is doing right without regard to inward desire, outward pressure, or eventual income. Or eventual outcome. Let me say it again. Dr. Bill Rice said, character is doing right without regard to inward desire, outward pressure, or eventual outcome. Somebody said, the measure of a man's character is what he would do if no one would ever find out. General Norman Schwarzkopf said, the main ingredient of good leadership is good character. Character is like the massive unseen foundation that supports the St. Louis Arch so that it can stand 629 and a half feet above ground and not blow over in 150 mile an hour wind. Now, what does character do? First of all, would you notice that character will turn your trials into testimonies? Character will turn your trials into testimonies. In Job chapter 2, you're welcome to turn there if you wish. Character is what Job had that kept him going when he lost his children, his servants, his flocks, and his herds. In chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. He said he may have lost his children, his servants, his flocks, his herds. He hasn't lost his character. He kept his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. At the end of the book of Job, chapter 27, verse 3, Job is speaking. And he says, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you, he's talking about those who have attacked him and falsely accused him, till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. He said, everything else can go wrong. I'm going to keep my integrity. I'm going to keep my character. And character turns your trials into testimonies. When you see Job being rewarded by God with twice everything that he had lost before. When you see his accusers apologizing to him. When you see him happier in his old age than he was in his younger years. You see how his integrity and his character turned his trial into a testimony. Secondly, what will character do? Character will lead you to the right mate. Character will keep a person from marrying the wrong person while leading him or her to the right person. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." All you have to do to marry wrong and wind up miserable is to lack character yourself. Character was what made Ruth and Boaz, was what both Ruth and Boaz had in the book of Ruth that made them a match for one another. In Ruth chapter 2 verse 1, we read Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. This is Boaz. The word wealth there is the Hebrew word kayil. It refers to strength, valor, virtue, and worth. And it was not simply referring to his financial wealth. It was referring primarily to the wealth of his character. When you read in Proverbs, who can find a virtuous woman? That's the same Hebrew word. And in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, Boaz said to Ruth, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Same Hebrew word, kayil, that was referred to, the same Hebrew word was used to refer to both Boaz and Ruth as people of virtue and integrity and character. Character is what a wise man, led by his parents, looks for in a mate more than anything else. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? There it is, the Hebrew word kayil. Who can find a virtuous woman, a woman of character, a woman of integrity, a woman of uprightness? For her price is far above rubies. Some of you heard me say before that if this ruby in this ring, this is just a little ring that my father used to wear, and after my father died, my mother gave it to me. She said, "Son, I think your dad would like you to have it." If that ruby in that ring was a real ruby, it would be worth $50,000. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. A handful of rubies this size could easily be worth a million or several millions of dollars. The passage ends in Proverbs 31:30 with this. Favor is deceitful. It means charm and elegance are deceitful. That charm, that elegance, it's deceitful. It's not real. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Character is what a wise lady and her parents expect to find in a man who is seeking a bride. Number three, character gives beauty to life. Character makes life attractive. Notice the word character was used primarily in the Bible in relation to Jesus himself. Imagine having Jesus around all the time. Character is the image of Jesus on you and me. Simply put, character is beautiful and attractive, and a lack of character is ugly and repulsive. And you know, the interesting thing is that that is true regardless of who is even looking at it. Even a characterless person will often admire character in someone else and may well detest their own lack of character when they see that lack of character manifested in somebody else. For instance, a disobedient, rebellious teenager teenage girl had to babysit for a strong-willed, disobedient little child. When she got done and she was asked, "How did it go?" she replied, "He was a royal pain." What was she saying? She was saying that even though she had that disobedience in her own life, she didn't like it when she saw it in somebody else's. And you know what she would like? She would have liked seeing respectfulness and obedience in the child that she was trying to care for. Why? Character is beautiful and attractive, and a lack of character is ugly and repulsive. Obedience is attractive. Willfulness is repulsive. Humility is attractive. Pride is repulsive. Responsibility is attractive. Unreliability is repulsive. Truthfulness is attractive. Deception is repulsive. Sincerity is attractive. Hypocrisy is repulsive. Meekness is attractive. Anger is repulsive. Discretion is attractive. Simple-mindedness is repulsive. Virtue is attractive. Impurity is repulsive. Forgiveness is attractive. Bitterness is repulsive. Joyfulness is attractive. Self-pity is repulsive. Availability is attractive. Self-centeredness is repulsive. Are y'all staying with me? Hello. Self-control is attractive. Self-indulgence is repulsive. Reverence and respectfulness is attractive. Disrespectfulness is repulsive. Thoroughness and orderliness is attractive. Sloppiness is repulsive. Resourcefulness is attractive. Wastefulness is repulsive. Thriftiness is attractive. Extravagance is repulsive. Deference is attractive, yielding rights to someone else. Rudeness is repulsive. Gentleness is attractive. Harshness is repulsive. Compassion is attractive. Indifference and unconcern is repulsive. Sensitivity is attractive. Callousness is repulsive. An Air Force colonel wrote this to a newspaper columnist. He said, "Lackland Air Force Base in Texas is a training center, and the authorities there have thousands of letters from parents thanking them for what they have done for their sons. This," he said, "is my favorite. Our son gave us nothing but trouble starting at age 13. Weird clothes, crazy hair, failing in school, scruffy looking, smelly, ill-mannered." What's she saying? She's saying he didn't have character and he was repulsive. Excuse me. "We didn't think he'd graduate from high school. When he announced that he was enlisting in the Air Force, I said to myself, if they take him, he'll be home within a month. They did take him. But I shook every time the phone rang. I knew it'd be him, down at the Greyhound station, kicked out of the Air Force, waiting for us to come and get him. Then one day, we did get a phone call from Lackland. He had graduated from boot camp, had a furlough, and was coming home for a few days. I was stunned when our handsome young airman got off the plane, neatly barbered, perfectly groomed, grinning from ear to ear. We still can't get used to all the yes sirs and no sirs around the house. His table manners are flawless. He even smells good. His mother and I want to let you know that if this is our son, thank you not only for what you have done for him, but also for what you've done to him. If there's been a mistake and this is not really our son, do you mind if we keep him anyway?" Character gives beauty to life. Do you know what those people did in the Air Force? They did what the parents should have done when the boy was little. They held him down and chiseled on him. They created a strict environment and they chiseled away what didn't belong there until what was left there was character. Until they built something beautiful out of him. I want to tell you something. Everybody has a sin nature and everybody is born into this world, headed the wrong direction, and a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Character gives beauty to life. Number four, character is your guard for your reputation. I want to say your best guard for your reputation, and that would be close. Somebody said, live in such a way that if someone says something bad about you, nobody will believe him. Now there's a difference, listen carefully, there's a difference between character and reputation. Character is what you are. Reputation is only what others think you to be. The man who christened our town with the juice of a watermelon, August the 27th, 1853, Abraham Lincoln, made this statement among many other wise statements, and he was clearly one of the most character men who ever lived. He said, character is like a tree and reputation is like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. Don't concern yourself so much with your reputation, what people think about you. Concern yourself primarily with your character, which is what God thinks about you and knows you to be. And remember this, even if someone tries to destroy your reputation, if you will keep your character right, God will probably restore your reputation. Somebody said, your character cannot be essentially injured except by your own acts. Think about that, would you please? Your character cannot really be injured by anyone else. You are the only one who can injure your character. If you have a bad reputation, and you have that bad reputation because you have some bad character qualities in your life, you can't blame that on anyone else. You are the one who must change it. In the book of Genesis, Joseph's reputation was about as far in the mud as a man's could be. His own brothers had sold him into slavery. That's not a very good reputation to have. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him when he ran for his life because he had character. He was falsely accused by her of adultery. Look at his reputation. It's in the mud even further. He wound up as a jailbird in prison. But he kept his character intact, and he finally wound up second only to Pharaoh because he refused to renounce his character. Only you can damage your character. Your reputation can rise and fall. If your character is what it ought to be, then your life will probably wind up all right. And if your reputation gets in trouble, your character can be used by God to correct the perception of your reputation. Number five, this is very important. Please listen carefully. Character is the guard for our nation's freedom. Character is the guard for our nation's freedom. I'm so honored to have one of our mayoral candidates here today. I would love to say to every political leader in the United States of America, listen to this. Psalm 25:21 says, let integrity preserve me. How do we keep our freedom? There's only one way we can be sure to have our freedom, keep our freedom in this country, and that is if we as a country keep our character and our integrity. Emerson said, men of character are the conscience of the society to which they belong. American founding father Samuel Adams, a brilliant, wonderful man, said this. Listen very carefully. It's a powerful little paragraph. A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of a common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. If virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security. Incredible wisdom. Florida Governor Jeb Bush once said, Virtue is indeed the oxygen of a free society. As it fills our lungs, we become a people of strength, capable of vigorously exercising the kind of self-governance that our founding fathers expected of us. Without virtue, however, there can be no self-governance. We become strangled and weak, incapable of handling our own day-to-day affairs, and this is an open invitation for big government to curtail our freedoms. Without virtue, we turn to nationalized health care, V-chips for every TV set, metal detectors in all public schools, volunteers paid by the government to volunteer. Without virtue, we embrace a, quote, little things presidency, featuring a chief executive who acts more like a city manager or a nanny instead of the leader of a free people. Without virtue, we are buried alive under mountains of tedious rules, mandates, and regulations at all levels of government. Yet many of us have little or no appreciation of the vital role that virtue plays in our lives. We don't understand, for example, how the lack of virtue leads to social problems like out-of-wedlock births, crime, welfare dependency, and drug abuse. And the solution to that, incidentally, is not to throw more money at it. It won't solve it. Because that's not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is that when that is happening, there has become a dearth of virtue and character in the society. And if something isn't done to put the virtue and the character back into that society will collapse from within. General Norman Schwarzkopf said, "The main ingredient of good leadership is good character." A man whose writings had a great influence upon America and was an original leader in America was a man by the name of William Penn. I believe Pennsylvania is named after him. Am I correct? In 1681, he said this, "Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon governments. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, the government will never be good. I know some say, let us have good laws, and no matter for the men that execute them. But let them consider that though good laws do well, good men do better. For good laws may lack good men, but good men will never lack good laws, nor allow bad ones." Number six, character provides a foundation for trust. Proverbs 31, talking about the virtuous woman, says, "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her." How can he trust in her? Because she is a virtuous woman. He knows what she is on the inside. You marry someone, young man or young lady, and they are not a person of character. I want to tell you, you're going to have trouble in your marriage because you're going to have trouble trusting them. Here's an article from spring of 1998 that says, 83% of Massachusetts Institute of Technology students have admitted to cheating, ranging from collaborating on homework answers to outright copying. According to Charles Middleton, Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Colorado at Boulder, quote, "I would say that over half of the students cheat on every campus. What do Americans expect when cheating is on the rise in society as a whole?" According to another survey conducted, 70% of college students have cheated on a test at least once. 87% have cheated on some form of written work. 49% have collaborated with others on an assignment, and 52% have copied from someone. Of the 15,000 students surveyed at 31 mostly private, highly competitive universities, 87% of business majors and 67% of humanities majors cheated at least once in college. I want to ask you a question. What businessman here would want to hire one of those people who's cheating? Why would you not? Because if you'll steal the answers off of your neighbor, you'll steal the money out of the till. It is a character problem, and character is one of the few things that will provide a foundation for trust. Character builds trust by taking the responsibility. Hear this. Character builds trust by taking the responsibility that it is given to do or that it is obvious for it to do. For instance, if character opens something, it closes it. If character turns it on, it turns it off. If character unlocks it, character will lock it back up. If character breaks it, it will admit it. If character can't fix it, it'll call somebody who can. If character borrows something, it will return it or talk to the people about it. If character borrows money, it'll pay it back. If character makes a mess, it'll clean it up. If character moves something, it'll put it back. If character sees something belongs to somebody else, character will get permission to use it. If character doesn't know how to operate it, character will leave it alone instead of fooling with it. If character knows that something is none of its business, character won't ask questions. What am I saying? I'm saying that character provides a foundation for trust. Because every time character does those things, you know that you can trust the person with the character. Number 7, character is a tremendous gauge to measure maturity and life skills and growth. In particular, character is one of the most accurate gauges with which to measure the maturity level of young people. I've had wise parents come to me and ask me. I've had this happen several times. It's always a delight when parents are humble to do this. And every time I've had a parent come and do this, I've had them thrilled that they did it, and I've seen blessings as a result of it. Come and talk to me about their son or their daughter in relation to whether their son or daughter was ready for marriage. And I've shared lots of different things at different times. But one of the common things that I do, these are on the table back there, you can get one as you leave today, is hand them a sheet with the 49 character qualities and their operational definitions on it. And then I say to them, the husband needs to take one of these, the wife needs to take one, and then each of you need to rate your child on each character quality, give them a 1 to 10 on each character quality, then look at the sheet together and decide where your son or daughter really is in life. If you do that with a sheet, you will immediately see, where your child is going to have problems when they get married. And then if you do it if you're serious about somebody else in relation to marriage, and the other parents do the same thing, and then you compare your notes, you will see where that couple is going to have problems if they get married or even if they are ready to get married. In fact, I would suggest that you do that before you ever even consider them for someone for marriage. Certain character qualities. Now, all 49 of these character qualities are good, important, in some ways essential, but there are certain character qualities that are foundational, without which neither life nor marriage is likely to succeed. And I'm saying these are very critical. I sat down last night, looked at the sheet. I'd never really done this before. And I meditated and prayed about it, and I said, which ones of these are the absolutely indispensable character qualities for a young man or a young lady if he or she is going to get married? Now, you could disagree with me here. I'm just going to share with you what I felt as I meditated and with what I know about the Word of God and the principles of life. I thought the number one character quality without which a man should not even consider marriage is responsibility, which is knowing and doing what both God and others expect of me. The number two character quality for a young man would be love, which is giving to others basic needs without having as my motive personal reward. The number three one is humility, recognizing that God and others are actually responsible for the achievements in life, and that would include being teachable. And then number four, one would be decisiveness, the ability to finalize difficult decisions based on the will and the ways of God. And then I thought about what are the key ones for a lady? The key character quality, I believe, for a lady to be happy in life, to build a good marriage and a good home, number one is obedience. If she has not learned to obey her, obey and respect and follow her parents, then she's going to have trouble doing that in the home in relation to her husband. And, you know, I wish I had time to preach here about obedience and submission in relation to a wife. If you really understand what the Bible says, you understand that is not a horrible thing. Let me tell you what it is. I'll throw this in. I was interviewed on the radio in El Paso, Texas. What was that? 3 years ago this spring, I believe it was. 2 or 3 years ago this spring. A large CBS network station in El Paso, Texas that reached out for like 200 miles all around that whole area. And I was sitting there talking to the lady, and we were talking about all these different issues on the family and home. And she said to me, well, this submission thing, you don't really believe that a wife's supposed to submit to her husband. And I said, oh, yes. And I said, if you understand it, you don't have a problem with it at all. She said, well, I think I do. I said, I don't think you do. Let me explain it to you. I said, when I walked into this station today, I decided that you were the person in charge and I was going to talk about what you wanted to talk about, not what I wanted to talk about. I was going to let you lead and I was going to follow. Do you know what that was? That was just submission. I said, I suspect somewhere in this radio station right now is somebody we don't see. And that person tells everybody else what they're supposed to do. And submission is simply doing what they say. And I said, submission is simply this, recognizing that no organization of any kind can be two-headed. Every organization has to have one head. No man can serve two masters. She sort of looked at me funny for a little minute. She said, well, I never heard it explained like that. Obedience is a key character quality for a lady. A second key character quality for a lady, if she's going to be ready for marriage, is responsibility. Reverence. A wife who reverences her husband will virtually, it is almost impossible for somebody else to steal a husband from a wife who reverences her husband. Reverencing is one of the most powerful, it is the opposite of nagging, and is one of the most powerful tools that a wife has in her arsenal. And the fourth thing is, that a lady needs is gratefulness, a spirit of gratefulness. And for both of them, think about this. For both a husband and a wife, they need loyalty. I think of what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said when he said, if you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing. Even a hound dog is loyal to his master. So, when you look at character qualities, you're seeing a gauge by which you can determine whether somebody is ready for life and you can measure their maturity. Most conflicts in marriage or in the workplace can be traced back to an absence of a certain needed character quality. For instance, here's a husband who won't wait for his meal. What's he need? He needs patience. Here's two people in a marriage and one of them wants a divorce right now. What's he lacking? Endurance. One of them has been wronged and can't go on. Why not? He needed to learn forgiveness. One is one way before marriage, and one of the parties is one way before marriage and another way after marriage. What character quality is missing? Sincerity. The wife has a messy house. What character quality was missing? Orderliness. The wife is not submissive. What character quality is missing? Loyalty. The husband is harsh dealing with the children. What character quality is missing? Patience and gentleness. Husband never listens to his wife. What character quality is missing? Attentiveness. One of them is wasteful with money. What is missing? Thriftiness and contentment. The husband won't be steady on his job. What character quality is missing? Diligence. There are problems in intimate relationships. What is missing? Self-control. One of them's always late, or both of them are always late. What is missing? Punctuality. There's a bad spirit in the home. What is missing? Joyfulness. And you know, all of that can be seen ahead of time by any parent who will just sit down and look. Look at the character qualities in their child's life and measure character qualities and correct by character quality. You know, the world gives tests for real estate, for law, for nursing, and so on. Do you know what the test is For success in life, it is a character test. It is more important. Your character is more important than a high school diploma. Your character is more important than a college diploma. The character is more important than all the education you can get. Your character is more important than all the talents you have. Your character is more important than anything. Those are your goals, incidentally, parents, in training your children. You look at those 49 character qualities. What you want to do is you want to train those into your children. Number 8, character solves the biggest problems of life. Let me stop and get a drink of water and say amen right here, would you? Character solves the biggest problems of life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely." A business leader gave the mayor of a major West Coast city an invitation to attend a mayor's conference in Indiana, and this conference was focusing on the development of character. The mayor thanked the business leader in the town and explained his real desire for the city was not so much a character program as it was a strong economy. In the weeks that followed, the business leader reported some astonishing information. One major company in the city had advertised for an entry-level employee. No special skills were needed, but good character was necessary. 117 people applied for the job through a series of interviews. The 10 best candidates were selected, and they were informed that final selection would be based on a drug test. All 10 failed that test, and the position was left unfilled. Another company struggled with the lack of responsibility of their temporary employees who consistently failed to report for work and fulfill their duties. That company eventually decided to relocate to an area where they could hire employees with more character. When the businessman relayed this information back to the mayor changed his mind and registered for the character conference. Interesting, isn't it? I said, character solves the biggest problems of life. Holitext is the name of a carpet manufacturer in the state of Oklahoma. They have 2 locations, 480 employees. I think this was written probably 3 or 4 years ago. They had made great improvements in their carpet line since they began in 1963, but the community image for the company was extremely poor. Turnover rates were severe, morale was low, and by 1993, their workers' compensation cost at one facility with 240 employees was almost $500,000, $476,000. They contacted the Character Training Institute. They were made acquainted with what is known as Character First materials. Some of you use those in your home. They're tremendous materials. Holitex Corporation rewrote their policies and established a new corporate philosophy to promote and reward good character first and foremost. Today, the carpet mill that was a community disappointment is a local hero. Holitex at one place was awarded the Local Business of the Year Award. Holitex at the other place was one of 8 companies in the entire state to receive the Governor's Safety Award. Workers' compensation costs dropped 90%, plunging from $500,000 a year to $47,000 a year. And they became a model for other corporations nationwide because of the dramatic changes that took place in their company. The president of their company, Ron Threadgill, said, "Not only are we seeing a different look on the faces of our people, but vendors and customers tell us how they can feel the difference when they walk through the doors of our corporation." Number 9, character, listen to me, stands out in a decadent society. Character stands out in a decadent society. Ours is the day of drive-by shootings, junior high kids on cocaine, guns, knives, and rock music everywhere. And just like Ruth and Boaz, during the time of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, stood out from the crowd. So you know what? Bright, happy, charactered, godly young people stand out in our day. Phenomenal, life-changing results have been observed now in public schools all over the United States. I could give you just testimony after testimony after testimony of this. Pictures of it. Where bright, happy, smiling eyes young people have become character coaches in public schools teaching classes on character to young people, coming alongside the teacher in the class, and the joy and the character that they portray is just picked up by these young people, and the teachers are saying things like, we've never had such order in our classes. It is phenomenal, the change that's happening in our classes. More than one family, I'm talking about how character stands out in a decadent society. Their family is sitting right here this morning. More than one. With several children in the family, and you've had people, I've had at least three or four different families in this church with several children who have come up to me and told me stories about how you'd be in a doctor's office or how you'd be in a restaurant or how you'd be here or there. And people would just come up and comment about how obedient, respectful, and well-behaved your children are. What happens? It's just simple. Listen, we can either gripe and groan and moan about the decadence of our society, or we can strike a match. In the darkness, we can turn on light, and we can raise some children with some character, with some joy, with some smiles on their faces, with character and responsibility and loyalty and obedience and respectfulness in their lives, and other people will see and say, wow, that is incredible. Number 10, character puts women and children first. I want to pause right there. I can feel this one coming. Character. Make sure everybody around you is awake, especially the teenage boys, all right? Look around you. If there's any teenage boy halfway asleep, shake him real good, all right? Character puts women and children first. The name Boaz in the book of Ruth, Boaz, his name meant, in him is strength. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 9, when Ruth is gleaning in the field, and she's this widow lady who with her mother-in-law has come from, they've been gone for years and have come from Moab back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she's out there just trying to glean some grain. I love this picture here. And Boaz sees her over there. He walks over to her and he says to her, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Abide to hear fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. They were living, I want to tell you, you study the time of the judges and it was a more dangerous time than we're living in. It was extraordinarily dangerous for a beautiful young widow lady like Ruth to be out there. And she just by the providence of God happened to wind up in Boaz's field. And Boaz said, this is dangerous air around here, ma'am. And I've instructed these young men and you're going to be safe. You stay around here. Character puts women and children first. I was in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, several years ago. We had lunch with a whole group of national pastors. One of the men that I talked to that day was a pastor by the name of Penny, P-E-N-N-I, Pastor Penny. A wonderful, godly black man. He sat and told me about his background. His grandfather had been a cannibal. His grandfather told Pastor Penny when he was a little boy, we would attack and kill other warriors, but no warrior would ever lay a hand on a woman or a child. I heard that and I thought, I wonder who's really civilized. Young men and boys, don't ever listen to or say a snide or crude or filthy or suggestive remark about your sister or any other girl or lady in this church. And if you hear somebody else do it, correct them. Speak up. Men of character have been known throughout history for their courage and valor in protecting the ladies and girls around them. We need to get back to that. Few things distress me, disturb me, and challenge me to be able to rebuke without anger any more than a young man putting down his sister. Ooh. I'm telling you, That is an immediate and clear testimony that a young man is immature, uncharactered, and far from ready for marriage. Men of character have been known throughout history for their courage and valor in protecting ladies and girls around them. Bob Garner said this, 10 years ago I interviewed Titanic survivor Eva Hart, who was on the ship Titanic with her mother and father. Just 7 years old at the time of the voyage, she and her mother were put aboard a lifeboat while her father stayed behind. Tears welled up in her eyes as she recalled the horror of watching the Titanic sink. Mrs. Hart said she could hear the screams echoing across the freezing black water as the huge ship rose up and went down. Dreadful, she said over and over to herself. It was absolutely dreadful. Mrs. Hart told me that every person's true character surfaced while the Titanic was sinking. As those 20 lifeboats were being filled and lowered down to the freezing water, the command on deck was, "Women and children first! Women and children first! Women and children first!" Most of the men and teenage boys helped women and children into the lifeboats. Then they stood bravely and sang hymns with the ship's band as the ship went down. But some men displayed another kind of character. They slyly made their way back to staterooms and donned women's clothing in order to get in a lifeboat and save their own skins. Character will turn your trials into testimonies. It'll lead you to the right mate. It'll give beauty to life. It's your guard for your reputation. It's the guard for a nation's freedom. It provides a foundation for trust. It's a gauge to measure life maturity. It solves the biggest problems of life. It stands out in a decadent society. It puts women and children first. Character is your destiny. Character is your destiny. What you are tells me what you're going to be. Character is your down payment on your future. Every man does what he is big enough to do. As a young man, I was privileged to hear Dr. R.G. Letourneau speak. Tremendous Christian businessman. His biography, Mover of Men and Mountains, moved me. Man of great moral character and strong convictions. A great book for a young man to read. R.G. Letourneau was the founder of the company that eventually became Caterpillar Corporation. Many years ago, this man developed machinery and equipment far larger than equipment that they build even today. It was so big, they don't even have a use for it anymore. They don't even build equipment like that anymore. It was just too big. Listen to what R.G. Letourneau said. "There are no big jobs, only small machines. And that goes for men also." He was saying that the size of a man's character determines the man's life and destiny and success. There was an article in a Teaching Home magazine about the Dennis family of Massachusetts. I'm saying character is your destiny. Listen to this. The mother writes, "God has been so faithful. We always wondered how a homeschooler could get a real job. Jason heard of a job opening at a local bank, decided to apply. He had just turned 18, was up against 7 other adults. Jason got the job. I asked Jason's boss why she hired him when the other applicants were older and or more experienced. Her reply, "Because I can teach anyone to be a teller, but I cannot teach attitude and work ethic." 400 employers in Ohio were asked, "What do you look for in employees?" At the bottom of the list, computer skills, math skills, and grammar. At the top of the list, honesty and ability to get along with others. Character is your destiny. Hear this. Don't miss this. I'm almost done. Don't miss this. In Ruth chapter 1, there were 3 women standing on the road leading from Moab back to Bethlehem. All 3 were widows. Naomi, the mother-in-law, told both Ruth and Orpah, her daughter-in-laws, to go on back. Orpah went. But Ruth had loyalty. Remember the statement, if you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing. Ruth refused to go back. She said, whither thou goest, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I will die. That was loyalty. At the end of the book, hopeless, helpless, poverty-stricken Ruth is married to wealthy, charactered businessman Boaz. And she is a mother to Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. And she became the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma of Jesus Himself. Her decision because of her character, I'm saying character is your destiny. Her decision because of her character placed her in the lineage of the Messiah and even determined where the Messiah was going to be born, in Bethlehem. Ruth is also, even as recently as a few years ago, the 12th most popular girl's name in the world. Almost no one uses the name Orpah. And what was Orpah's destiny? She went back. Now, this is not in the Bible. I just give you a little touch of history. According to two different Jewish encyclopedia articles, Orpah returned to Moab, forsook the true God of Israel, worshiped the gods of the Moabites, and became the great grandmother of four Philistines who were giants. One of them was named Goliath. Ruth exercised character and became the great-grandmother of David. Orpah went back and became the great-grandmother of Goliath. In 1899, Elbert Hubbard wrote A Message to Garcia. It became one of the most widely distributed essays in all of history. Here's a portion of it. When war broke out between Spain and the United States, it was very necessary to communicate quickly with the leader of the insurgents in Cuba. Garcia, the leader, was somewhere in the mountain fastnesses of Cuba. No one knew where. No mail could reach him. No telegraph message could reach him. The President of the United States must secure his cooperation and quickly. What to do? Someone said to the President, there's a fellow by the name of Rowan who will find Garcia for you if anybody can. Rowan was sent for and given a letter to be delivered to Garcia. How the fellow by the name of Rowan took the letter, sealed it in an oilskin pouch, strapped it over his heart, in 4 days landed by night off the coast of Cuba from an open boat, disappeared into the jungle, and in 3 weeks came out on the other side of the island, having traversed a hostile country on foot and delivered his letter to Garcia, are things I have no special desire now to tell in detail. The point I wish to make is this. President McKinley gave Rowan a letter to be delivered to Garcia. Rowan took the letter and did not ask, where's he at? There is a man, Rowan, whose form should be cast in deathless bronze and the statue placed in every college of the land. It is not book learning young men need, nor instruction about this and that, but a stiffening of the vertebra which will cause them to be loyal to a trust, to act promptly, to concentrate their energies, to do the thing, carry the message to Garcia. General Garcia is now dead. But there are other Garcias. No man who has endeavored to carry out an enterprise where many hands were needed, but has been well nigh appalled at times by the inability or unwillingness of the average man to concentrate on a thing and do it. Slipshod assistance, foolish inattention, dowdy indifference, and half-hearted work seem to be the rule. You see that bookkeeper, said the foreman to me, in a large factory? Yes. What about him? Well, he's a fine accountant. But I'd send him uptown on an errand, he might accomplish the errand all right. On the other hand, he might stop at 4 saloons on the way, and when he got to Main Street, he'd forget what he'd been sent for. Can such a man be entrusted to carry a message to Garcia? My heart goes out to the man who does his work when the boss is away, as well as when the boss is at home. And the man who, when he's given a letter for Garcia, quietly takes the letter without asking any idiotic questions, with no lurking intention of chucking it into the nearest sewer or of doing aught else but deliver it. Civilization is one long, anxious search for just such individuals. Men like Rowan are wanted in every city, town, and village, every office, shop, store, and factory. The world cries out for such. He is needed and needed badly. The man who can carry a message to Garcia. That little essay went around the world 100 years ago. The last thing I say to you quickly is this. Character, number 12, prepares a person to receive Christ. You know, there was a time in our country when we were a more character country than we are now. You know what? There were more people who trusted Christ as Savior back then. In John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." He said there's no hypocrisy or deceit in this man. He's a character man. And Nathanael followed Jesus. We've had a bus ministry here for, 27, 28 years now? It's a joy. You know what we've noticed? We brought in all kinds of folks on the buses. Thank God for everyone who comes in. We brought in those who were obedient, those who were disobedient, those who were disciplined, those who were undisciplined, those who were respectful, those who were disrespectful. You know what we've noticed over the years? It's true. You watch it. Those children who come on our buses, who've had parents who have made them mind, made them obey, taught them respect, and disciplined them, those children with character trust Christ and get saved sooner than those without character. Don't forget this. No person is character enough to go to heaven. The most common thought in our day is totally false according to the Bible. The most common thought of our day is this. Live a good life. Treat your neighbor right. Go to church every once in a while. You'll go to heaven. I challenge you to find out in the Bible, and God is the one who wrote the Bible, and God is the one who determines to go to heaven. Hebrews 1:3 was my text verse, talking about the express image of the person of Jesus, and when He had by Himself purged our sins. By Himself. Did you know you cannot wash away a one of your sins? But your sins must be washed away if you're going to go to heaven. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The only way anyone, anywhere, it's not a Baptist way, a Catholic way, a Methodist way, a Presbyterian way, an Episcopalian way, I don't care who you are, what your church background is, the only way anyone goes to heaven is to acknowledge humbly before a holy God that they're a sinner. Call on God and ask for forgiveness. Ask Jesus to come into the heart. Forgive and save. And salvation is the gift of God. Eternal life is God's gift to those who repent and receive Christ as Savior. Would you bow with me, please?